You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you're going, Monday through Friday. We're here for you at the gym, in the car, whatever. We're here. So we appreciate you taking us along with you and making us part of your regular routine every day. We're the Rain and Jays, minus two of them. I'm John Corrales, alone on a solo podcast after a 103-95 loss to the Orlando Magic, in which the Celtics outscore the Magic in three of the four quarters, or 4-3 of the four quarters, but in that third quarter was just so terribly bad. They could not recover. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some interesting comments from Al Horford and Kyrie. We'll listen to Kyrie's reaction to that. He has an interesting reaction. And, you know, a couple of other notes, you know, Rain and Junk, Elfrid Payton's hair, which is big, big topic. And yeah, so let's just dive right into it. Celtics had the lead after the first quarter, which was, a typical Celtics thing where they fell behind and then they came back. And a smart play at the end of the first quarter, I think. I just want to highlight that. Marcus Smart gave a foul, let the Celtics set their defense. They were down at that point at the end of the first quarter. And Terry Rozier ended up, because the defense was set, able to anticipate an inbounds pass, get a steal, and give the Celtics a lead at the end of one. The Celtics also fell behind in the second quarter and did the same type of thing, came back, had a crazy steal and finish, and went into halftime with a lead. And then the third quarter happened. The third quarter was the worst quarter, one of the worst quarters we've seen all season. Not only did the Celtics only hit four shots, only two people hit shots, and Kyrie Irving was the only one who hit more than one in that quarter. He hit three. Al Horford hit one. Everybody else missed. Everyone else who took a shot missed it. And the Celtics shot 4 of 17 in that quarter, shot 23.5%. And they, worse than that, gave up eight turnovers in that quarter. Two for Jaylen Brown, one for Kyrie Irving, four for Marcus Smart in just the worst stretch we've seen him play in a long time. And that turned into 12 points. So the Celtics shot horribly, and they gave up 12 points off of turnovers, and they were outscored 32-12. So if they had taken care of the ball in the third quarter alone, just stop making some of the dumb passes. If they had just taken care of the ball in the third quarter, not turned it over eight times, cut that in half, and you maybe cut those points off of turnovers in half, now it's 26-12. And maybe if you convert on one of those possessions, it's 26-14. And that changes the entire dynamic of the game, because the Celtics were outscored, like I said, by 20 in that quarter, and they lost the game by eight. So that third quarter was so just disgustingly bad that they could just never recover. So the Celtics are now on a three-game losing streak, which sucks. They had a three-game homestand, which is what three games at home is, and they lost to not great teams. The Pelicans, granted, they have Anthony Davis and they have Boogie Cousins. All right, that's a tough matchup. So you say, all right, that's a tough matchup. We'll chalk that up. Philly without Kyrie, they still should not have been that bad against Philly without Kyrie. And then the Magic, who are just terrible, to lose to the Magic and look as bad as they did against the Magic for their third straight loss, not encouraging. Not encouraging. Now, the Celtics still have a two-game lead over Toronto, and they still have a very comfortable situation. They go off now to Los Angeles Tuesday night. They basically stay at the Staples Center. So it's a back-to-back, but it's not a horrible back-to-back. They could just leave all their stuff in the visiting locker room because they play Tuesday night against the Lakers, and then they play Wednesday night against the Clippers. So they can kind of just stay there and be comfortable. That's not bad. They could easily win both of those games. Okay. The Clippers are a weird team and they are fighting for their playoff lives in the West. They're easily beatable. They can be beaten. So they're much better at home than they are on the road. So that'll be difficult, but the Celtics could go into Los Angeles and beat the Lakers and beat the Clippers and then go into Saturday night against the Warriors. And I mean, who expects anything good to happen against the Warriors? But look, Celtics have beaten the Warriors. They beat them this season. They've beaten them in Oakland. So that could be one of those things where everybody's up and amped and they could come out and have that could be a good game. And that's the Saturday night game on ABC, national game. Who knows what happens? So that's that. And then Monday night, they play the Denver Nuggets. That road trip really could go either way. I mean, that could be really good or it could be really bad. And we could just go into a what the hell is happening with the Celtics. The problem here, I think, it feels so much like an effort-based thing. That they're going out there and for some reason, they just don't look like they're into it. So, I mean, is this the January doldrums where these guys just kind of, they don't care as much? Is this a case of they went through January? And I kind of have hinted at this in past podcasts and on RedsArmy.com that they went through this stretch in December that was brutal. We've talked about this a million times. That December stretch was so bad that they got to the Philly game in London and maybe they just kind of relaxed and they said, oh, whew, all right, we made it. Take your foot off the gas. And now they're having trouble getting themselves back together. It's very possible that the crazy schedule from December has caused this kind of like this relief that they were done with that and they just kind of let up. And I joked about it on Twitter saying maybe they should just go back to playing every other day because they seem to respond well to playing that crazy schedule. I don't know what that is. I mean, there's something going on and it feels mental. There's not a physical thing. The guys are mostly healthy. I know Aaron Baines, it hurts to have him out or mostly limited with the sinus infection. And Kyrie's was coming back off of that shoulder surgery. Shoulder injury, which only cost him a game. That didn't hurt him. He was the best player on the floor without any question. 40 points tonight on 14 of 23 shooting. 60%, 61% practically. 5 of 7 from 3. 7 of 8 from the line. 7 rebounds. 5 assists. I mean, Kyrie was balling. He had clearly one of his best games of the season for the Celtics. So they wasted that game, but so they're healthy. It just feels like there's some sort of mental thing going on, and whatever that is, that's fine. They have to get through it. In fact, let me call up the the Al Horford comments from today's post game because that was a very interesting comment that he made. He said, quote, "In my eyes, I feel like we're fighting for our lives right now. That has to be our mindset going into Tuesday's game. We have to understand teams are coming for us. I felt like we've handled it okay throughout the season, but it's even more evident now. So we have to do a good job of making sure we're bringing the fire and they're not bringing it to us." The line "fighting for our lives right now" seems a little dramatic, which is fine. I think I know what he's saying, because obviously he's speaking metaphorically. It's not, you know, it's not that bad, but I think he's trying to get guys to understand that you have to step it up. There's a level where you have to get to when you're at the top of the conference, where other teams just kind of are gunning for you. They're really trying to knock you off. So Al Horford said that. And then Kyrie responded to a question after the game, which was prefaced with Al Horford's comments. I'm going to play that whole thing and let you just kind of listen, and then I'll react.
Al just said he thinks the team is fighting for its life right now. Do you feel that way?
He said fighting for his life?
Yeah.
I mean, got to hit some adversity. Like, we have to hit something. Like, we need it, you know, as a team. And, you know, there's a lot more adversity down the road. You got to be able to weather the storm no matter what. And, I mean, you know, whether you're playing it friendly well, and sometimes that may result in a loss, or whether you're not necessarily making the amount of shots that you would like, or, you know, doing the things at an optimum level as you would like, you know, that's part of the game, and learning one another and being able to figure out how do you respond from that. And, you know, us as a group, as we've come together in the last 4 months or 5 months, you know, it's new, you know what I'm saying? We need to hit something like this in order for us to grow. And, you know, it's part of the game. It's part of being on a team, part of being a professional, you know, any team, any environment. You got to have stuff like this where you got to figure it out.
My favorite part there is at the beginning where they tell him what Al Horford said, and he said fighting for our lives. Like, he really said that? I love Kyrie's attitude about this is kind of good for the team. And Kyrie has been through a lot. Kyrie has been through more than anybody else on this team, because he's gone all the way and won a championship. So he knows what that road is like. He knows how hard it is to go through the whole thing. He's gone through and lost the championship. He's gone through and won. He's been in a situation where teams are gunning for you and you're the favorite and all of that stuff. He knows the whole thing. He knows the pressure. He knows what it's all about. So I think for him, he's not worked up about this. Like, you and I, like, after the end of that game, I was just like, what are we doing? What's going on here? What's happening with this team? And Kyrie's just like, you know, man, you kind of need to go through this every once in a while. So it's good. It's good to learn from this. And he's just taking a bigger picture approach. So for Kyrie to kind of be that cool, calm guy after the game, I think it's an interesting dichotomy between him and Al Horford. Al is just like, all right, look, guys, we got to focus. And Kyrie is just like, you know, we just got to learn from this. We got to get through it. And I think it just goes to show kind of their backgrounds. Al Horford, I think, has a little more urgency, having gone through that Atlanta mess. And he's seeing this team as like his chance. This is his chance. If they don't win a title, if this Boston Celtics team with Al Horford under Al Horford's contract doesn't win a title, he'll never win a title, it feels like. And I mean, you can say that. Maybe he'll find a team that he can hook on with and help them win a title. But if it's not with the Celtics, then it's just not, it may never happen for him. So he feels, I think, a little bit more of, you know, more of the pressure. And I don't want to say pressure in a negative way, but he feels more of that, like, hey, look, when things get like this, you have to step up and you have to take it very seriously and you have to get through these things. Kyrie is just like, yeah, man, you know, it happens. And we're going to relax and we're going to play our game and we're going to just do what we got to do. And if we can get our act together, we'll be fine. So, because he's won a title and he's like he sees it. He knows that these ups and downs happen. Look, the Celtics, the 08 Celtics had a losing streak. They had a 3-game losing streak. The team after, they had a 4-game losing streak in there. Good teams have losing streaks. And these teams aren't as good as those teams. So this team isn't as good as those teams. So there's going to be a losing streak. And we said that. We've been saying it when we were trying to project out how many wins the Celtics are going to have this season. You knew at some point there was going to be a losing streak in there. And this is it. We found it. This is one. Maybe there's going to be another one. You don't know. Like, there's just stretches where guys don't play well. And it could be anything. It could be off-the-court stuff. Maybe Jason Tatum is struggling with being a new dad. He's a 19-year-old kid, and maybe he's just not handling the new dad thing as well as he maybe would have if he was older. Maybe, who knows? Maybe he's just not sleeping, and it's just taking him a little bit of time to get going. Who knows? Something as simple as that can have a big effect on a guy. So you just never know what is bugging people. You don't know if it's just complacency, or if they're, you know, they just took a team lightly, or they just, it could be anything. It could be anything. So it's not great. That game was not great, but it's just the 3-game losing streak, and every good team has gone through them. Every good team has losing streaks. So I will just leave it at that. I want to congratulate the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to be your Super Bowl 52 matchup, folks. And we have a Locked On podcast for both of those teams. Locked On Patriots, Locked On Eagles. I'm obviously a Patriots fan because I grew up in New England, in and around Boston. So I'm a Patriots guy. I remember going to the old Foxborough Stadium with the big metal benches. In fact, when the last time the Patriots beat the Jacksonville Jaguars at the old Foxborough Stadium, I was there with my brother, who at that point was like 10 years old, and we were there to celebrate a trip to the Super Bowl, which was crazy. I mean, Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback. Those were the good old days, man. That was crazy. And now the Patriots are going for their 8th trip under Tom Brady in the Tom Brady era. This is Brady's 8th trip to the Super Bowl. The Patriots, I believe, 10th trip to the Super Bowl. And the Patriots could get their 6th Super Bowl win. And Philly is looking for revenge. Philly was one of the victims along the way. And if you're an Eagles fan, go to Locked On Eagles and you can hear all about it. If you're a Patriots fan, go to Locked On Patriots and celebrate this win and get ready for 2 weeks of big time hype to get to the Super Bowl. So, and if you're a fan of other football teams, there's a Locked On podcast for all of your teams as well. You can talk about those close playoff losses. You can talk about if there's a Locked On Jags. You can go check them out. You can kind of commiserate and kind of figure out what do you do now. Locked On Vikings, Locked On everybody in the NFL. And you could talk about whatever it is. You can listen to them talk about whatever it is that's the big story with your team. So go check them out. Subscribe to them where you subscribe to us here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Wherever you can find your favorite Locked On NBA podcast, the Locked On NFL is there as well. Okay, before we wrap this up, a couple of hashtags on the Twitter machine, hashtag Rain and Jays. Not much activity. I think people are either going to watch the football or just not caring to hashtag with us during that crap fest. But I will just give a shout out to @Scroatberg, Donald Scroatberg. Bad basketball. That's 6 bads and a basketball. Yeah, today was bad. The third quarter was bad. A lot of passes getting tipped. A lot of passes just ill-advised. A couple went literally straight into the hands of the other team. Just directly into the Orlando Magic's hands. Like, I just can't grasp how poorly these guys seem to be playing right now. But here we are. Here we are. So, and at Addy Shepherd with a great GIF at, it's at Atti, A-T-I, Shep, S-H-E-P, Addy Shepherd. Live view of Bane's big Australian boat. And it's basically a sinking boat. That is very appropriate. And that's it for the Rain and Jays hashtag. At Rain and Junk, hashtag Rain and Junk. Alex at Straight No Chaser. Alfred's Hair, a whole Rain and Junk podcast. It's bouncing. Yes. 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 Alfred Payton's hair is, look, I'm not going to judge the guy. It's not how I would wear my hair. I think it looks stupid, so I guess that's me judging the guy after I said I wouldn't judge him. But look, it's his life, and he wants to wear his hair that way, that's fine. However, when you're taking jump shots and the ball is pushing your hair out of the way, literally, as he lifts the ball up in front of his face, it hits his hair. That can't be good. That can't be good. The hair is bouncing as he's dribbling down the floor. It's bouncing in front of his face. How can he see? And that's just, I'm not being facetious. That's just stupid. Like, you're supposed to be able to, you're the point guard. And if your hair is bouncing in front of you, you can't see. It just seems stupid. I guess maybe he makes it work. I feel like it hinders things. That half a second of the hair in the way, a guy could be in one place and then suddenly moving to a different, and you just don't know what direction he's going in. And that half second makes a difference. Maybe I'm an old man. Maybe I'm just an old man being angry and yelling at clouds. I don't know. Maybe, but God damn, that hair is just ridiculous. And I just feel like it hurts him. I can't see how that helps anything on the court. To have hair bouncing in front of your face as you're dribbling a basketball and trying to see the floor and understand where your player is going and what the defense is doing. Any sort of impediment of your vision, your field of vision, for any stretch is bad. That's a bad thing. To see a guy in front of you and then the hair just bounces and then up and then all of a sudden the guy is a half step a different way that you didn't expect because you didn't see him moving or leaning a certain way. That's gotta hurt him. That's gotta hurt him. And it's frankly dumb. It's just dumb. Like, why? I don't know. I guess everybody's an individual and that's fine. But I think it's stupid. I just think it's stupid. And that's it. And that's all I'm going to do for the today show. I can't talk about this game anymore. Celtics on their way to Los Angeles to play the Lakers and the Clippers. Those are late games, but Sam and Jay are both out there in Los Angeles. And they will be handling the podcasts for those games, which means they'll be done a little bit later than maybe you're used to, so you'll just have to wait. But it's going to be worth waiting for because we'll still do shows after the games, and I will be watching the games, but from here on the East Coast and barely staying up and maybe falling asleep depending on how good the game is, falling asleep down the stretch. I don't know, but we'll keep you covered here. So subscribe to our podcast. If you are not a subscriber, if this is your first time listening, thank you for listening. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts, on whatever app it is, and wherever, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify. If you're a Spotify user, we're there. The Locked On Network is on Spotify, so find us there. And if you are a subscriber, please rate us 5 stars and give us a good review and share. Spread the word. Tell your friends. If you're talking Celtics to anyone, bring up the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you enjoy our show, your friends will enjoy it too. Tell them to listen to us. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.